Thank you, Donnie. I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First off, I want to thank everyone for their prayers for my trip, and also for the prayers for my sister. You can't imagine how you get the opportunity to look back in time at where you started. I'd like to start this morning. The Lord has placed many things on my heart this day. And I would like to start this morning in the 8th chapter of Romans. And I'm going to start with the 35th verse through the 39th. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things are we more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you fear? And fear is a good motivator. It drives who we are. Is it fear of dying? Let's go to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Second chapter, 14th verse through the 15th. For as much as then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Don't you think that's an interesting scripture? Who we are, and it is a powerful emotion, and almost all our decisions are based on a fear. Fear of flying. Maybe we're going to crash. Being unemployed, fear of not having enough money. There are any number of fears that most people have that drive their lives. Fear of not opening up to people because they may hurt us. You see, if you fear, then you don't necessarily believe. Believe that God can do anything? It is kind of a lack of faith. Have you ever noticed a little child? For the most part, they fear nothing. Don't touch that stove, that's hot. They don't know what that means. You know, there was someone that had a child that had no pain. And they really had to watch that young child. And the reason was because it didn't know that there was something wrong. Pain tells us that there's something wrong with us. And it says in the scriptures that that's how we're supposed to be, like a little child. Let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. I'm going to start in the 28th verse. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that God supplies all these things? Or do you believe in luck or coincidence? Everything happens for a reason. Who you get to sit by on an airplane? I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times that I have had the opportunity to sit by someone and talk about the gospel. My wife says a captured audience. They can't go nowhere. Assigned seating. There's a reason for those things. Who you get to talk to at the gas station? Who sends an email a week and a half before you go on a trip that wants to know more? There are countless ways that God engineers our chance meetings. You see, he gives us an inside look if we want it. Most don't. We rely on luck, chance. What are the chances of me, like my sister, coming out of a nation that for the most part doesn't believe in God? Very few churches back there. You think it's bad here? You don't have a concept of it. And standing here before you, I can tell you, they are very great odds. That our God is into that kind of odds, though. I had an opportunity to look back at my attitude when I left there 36 years ago. And believe me, I was more shocked than anyone. I look at my fears, our pettiness, our emotions that drive who we are, get in the way of our relationship with our God and with one another. I had many lessons along the way that really made me look at myself, even that happened to other people. And the Lord seemed fit ahead of time to give me an understanding that something was going to happen. Because I tell you, brothers and sisters, all these character traits that I see in some of us, I had and still have, if I allow them to control my emotions. Our immunity as Christians is on show for all to see. There are still many things in my life that I have to work on every day. But I do not let them rule my life. And one of them was that it was always someone else's fault. It was always someone else's problem. Why these things happen. I don't do that anymore. And we see that in the scriptures between King Saul and King David. You see, King Saul kind of believed God. Didn't really. Let's go to 1 Samuel. And God was pretty specific about what King Saul was supposed to do. I'm going to start in the 15th chapter, 22nd and 23rd verse. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? Now he's saying, I told you this. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as in iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Pretty harsh. You know, over the years, God has showed me in many instances how disobedient I've been. Specifically. And David wasn't without sin either, by any stretch of the imagination. But he took ownership. We also see on the next page, the 16th verse, 16th chapter, 13th verse, where David was anointed. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, the 13th verse, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. From that day forward, so Samuel rose up and went to Ramoth. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? That God gave him an evil spirit, allowed it to find place in him. I believe you can lose your gifts and abilities that God gives us, and I've also seen that happen. Didn't know why until several years later. Found out things that were going on with that person. The reason why those things happen. I do have one fear. I do have one fear. And that is, like King Saul, my disobedience before God. You also should have that one also. Fearing God. Even Job, and God put the definition of who Job was. That there, and I'm not going to go there, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And it means to turn off evil, that word eschew. Turn it off in his mind. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do we do that? You see, that definition, I believe, is very important. Because we have that ability to do that if we so desire. I want to go to Ecclesiastes. Eighth chapter. Eleventh verse through the 13th. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. He feareth not before God. Think about that concept in our hearts when we say, oh God, just let me away with this one, will you? He hasn't punished me yet. I got to be doing okay. Don't fall into that trap. And it's an easy one to fall into. A page back, you know, and this is just a little bit of a footnote. If you go back to the 7th chapter here, I'm going to read a scripture because I think sometimes, you know, we think we're doing good. We really do. We think we're doing good. If you go back to the 20th verse in chapter 7, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. You ever done that? Of course you have. Of course you have. But you know, we get so upset when someone says something to us. Why? We give people that power. It's one of those fears over our emotions. If you worry about everything that people say about you, You'll always have that fear. And not talking to someone that God puts in your path. Well, he might think I'm a nutcase. So, we all are. Probably more so than most. But it's important to understand these things that drive our abilities even. We allow them to dictate our life in our service to our God. And I used this scripture in Sunday school. So I want to go there. It's Romans, the third chapter. And I'm going to start in the seventh verse down through the ninth. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. So he's saying that the ends don't justify the means. Look, I brought many people to the knowledge of God. Yet it was through deceit. It is of no value. And we also see that in Luke. Because it is not God's standard in any way, in any deceit. Remember Job? This was God giving him who he was, telling who he was. Wasn't the, you know, our explanation of one another. It was God's. Feareth God and escheweth evil. There was one in the, well, actually there were several, but I'm going to use one. It's page 578 in the Book of Mormon. Helaman, I'm sorry. Third chapter, 117th verse through the 120th. And now because thou hast done this with such unwaveringness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will take thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and in works. Yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. For thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. Pretty good relationship this guy's got. Wouldn't we want that? Behold, thou art Nephi, and I am God. Behold, I declare it unto thee in the presence of mine angels that ye shall have power over this people and shall smite the earth with famine and with pestilence and destruction according to the wickedness of this people. Behold, I give unto you power that whatsoever ye shall seal on earth shall be sealed in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And thus shall ye have power among this people. He make things nice for them? No. No. You see, the fear comes when you not just think that there is a God, but when you know with every fiber of your being that there is one, that he's there. You know, one of the things that I pray for is exceeding great faith. I desire that. That absolute knowledge of who our God is. Do you pray for that? It has to be an absolute belief. Changes the very person that you are. There's no doubt. In Hebrews, it's a little, I think it's third chapter, 12th verse. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed, be warned. So how do you believe? It's a valid point. The Word of God changes who we are. And I can assure you that God changed who I was. Thankful for that. He knows my heart. Why I did something, or even why I didn't. What I feared about. You see, the truth truly sets you free in John, because you know without a doubt that God is in control of everything. And that's one of the reasons why I do those things for myself. I ask myself, now why did I do that? Kind of a self-examination of things that I do. That, because I, unlike anyone else, I'm human, right? None of you are human. It's easy, we can just flick a switch. That's not true, is it? We understand why we do things, why we say things. And so I've gotten that habit of doing that. Asking myself. Assessing myself. This is your recipe for life. And it should change your life. Not just in a small way. You know, when I look back at my journey, and I, in talking to my sister back home, I realized where she was, where she is. Was no different when I left. She hadn't changed at all. But I had. In monumentous ways. I want you to go to Ephesians. Fourth chapter. I'm going to start in the 22nd verse. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye kind. Didn't used to always be that way. Why I say, you've seen the transformation from Paul, from stoning Stephen to writing this. 10 hearted. You see, the law isn't that way. You know, the greatest change that most never make is, it's all about me, what I need. But it isn't. It's all about God. And we never make that transition. It's how it hurts my feelings or the things that I do. It's okay. God will justify those things because I'm in the right. It's not. We can be so wrong, because this last verse there, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even hath God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I need that. And I need to be that way. I don't worry about what people say anymore. Why should I? Christ was loved and revered in his day, wasn't he? Absolutely not. So I'm in good company if people do that to me. Because we make it about us. That's a luxury, brothers and sisters, that we can't afford. Make it about God, how we worship him. With that, I would thank you for your time, your attention, and your prayers. And I truly do appreciate all of your prayers for my trip. And I do love each and every one of you. Thank you very much.